all of us who come to bow in reverence, praise him. All of us, people of faith, glorify him. All of us, children of God, stand in awe before him. And so, let us worship God. Let us pray. O God, we return to this sanctuary today to remember the love and sacrifice of Jesus and to contemplate what it means to have faith in the midst of suffering, loss, and injustice. Even in this story of broken lives and broken hearts, we trust in your presence, your power, and your ways. We trust that in the midst of suffering, you, O God, our comfort. When injustice appears to triumph and justice appears to have been crucified, you, O God, are the one who calls us to believe the good news and act with justice. When we stray from the path on which you lead us, you, O God, offer grace that invites us back to your ways. When night surrounds us and we are fearful and lacking vision, you, O God, are the light that finds, surrounds, and guides us. When the world groans under the bonds of oppression, violence, and indifference, you, O God, empower your people to offer the balm of courageous compassion and peacemaking. When the curtain has ripped, the thunder has rolled, and the world appears to have lost its Savior, you, O God, are our hope for victory. We wait for you. Amen. This afternoon, we will hear the so-called seven last words, the words Jesus spoke from the cross while suffering a slow and painful death. These words are brought together from the different gospel accounts of the crucifixion. Our first reading comes from the gospel according to Luke and touches on the theme of forgiveness. In the time of silence that follows, I invite you to reflect on your own need for forgiveness from God and on where in your life you can extend forgiveness to others. Hear now a reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 38. Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." Our second reading continues Luke's account of the crucifixion with an episode in which Jesus extends salvation to a criminal crucified with him. In the time of silence that follows, I invite you to reflect on what it means that Jesus consistently welcomed those on the margins right up until the end of his life. Reading from Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. For our next reading, we turn to the Gospel of John and think about how Jesus transforms our relationships. After Jesus, how do we understand the concept of family and neighbor? What does it mean that we are all children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ? Hear this from John chapter 19, verses 19 through 27. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but this man has said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it. This was to fulfill what the scripture says, they divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, woman, here is your son. Then he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Next, we read from the Gospel according to Mark and hear that on the cross, Jesus truly knew what it feels like to be separated from God. In the time of silence that follows, I invite you to reflect on what it means to you that Jesus experienced the depths of human suffering, both physical and emotional. This is Mark chapter 15, verses 25 through 36. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, listen, he is calling for Elijah. And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. For our next reading, we return to John's Gospel for a brief but profound illustration of Jesus' humanity. John 19, 28 and 29. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. In our next reading from John, we hear John's account of the end of Jesus' earthly life, which is framed as a triumphant fulfillment of the scriptures. This is John 19, 30 through 37. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified, so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled: "None of his bones shall be broken." And again, another passage of scripture says, "They will look on the one whom they have pierced." For our final reading, we return to the Gospel of Luke and a different account of Jesus' death. In this, the moment of death is depicted as Jesus' return to the loving Father from whom he came. Listen now to Luke 23, verses 44 through 49. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Please join me in the litany found in your bulletins. O crucified Jesus, Son of the Father, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, eternal Word of God, we worship you. O crucified Jesus, holy temple of God, dwelling place of the Most High, gate of heaven, burning flame of love, we worship you. O crucified Jesus, sanctuary of justice and love, full of kindness, source of all faithfulness, we worship you. O crucified Jesus, ruler of every heart, in you are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In you dwells all the fullness of God. We worship you. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Almighty God, look with mercy upon your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and to be given over to the hands of sinners and to suffer death on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.